2 months, the bodies of as many as 25 men and boys have turned up in Sadr City, Iraq. Most of the men were shot, some several times. The killings are part of a campaign against Iraqi homosexuals, and while this is not new, the violence has intensified. We're joined on the phone by Ali Hilli, who runs the Iraqi Gays in Exile group, Iraq LGBT, and he joins us from London. And we're also hoping to be joined perhaps a little later on by Democratic Congressman Jared Polis of Colorado, who recently returned from a fact-finding mission in Iraq. He has just been called out to vote, so we hope that we're going to be able to get some feedback from him on this story as well. But first of all, let me ask you, Mr. Hilli, who do you think is behind most of the violence against Iraqi gays?
Well, as we're getting information from inside Iraq, I believe most of our sources direct the attention to members of militia involved within the Ministry of Interior and acting within the Ministry of Interior in Iraq, individual militia, Sadr militia, fanatic religious fundamentalist group, members of family, so different fractions of involvement within the attacks on homosexuals. There's no specific side or one side for these crimes.
So it's both Sunni and Shias who are suspected here. It seems like you're saying that it's basically a free-for-all.
Yes.
And I understand that the Iraqi police captain told the New York Times earlier this month that his police force took part, and I quote, in a campaign to clean up the streets and get the beggars and homosexuals off them. Can you shed some light and from your perspective on what's happening? Are the police complicit as far as you know?
Well, this is not the only report that has been quoted by members of Ministry of Interior and officers within the Ministry of Interior. There's also a report that we have that an officer within the Ministry of Interior quoted, homosexuality is illegal. So that's how they believe. And we have sources within the Ministry of Interior also informed us that they have received orders from high-ranks officers to target and raid certain houses of people who have been suspected of being gay or lesbian or trans. People have stopped in checking points and pulled out of streets for just being suspected of being gay. This week, we have information that a female pharmacist, informed the police about two of her customers buying female hormones and cosmetics and makeup, and they've been arrested and they took to unknown destination. Is this a crime in Iraq now to buy a female hormone?
I was going to ask you, is homosexuality actually illegal in Iraq?
The problem is in Iraq, the area within the constitution is very gray. The Iraqi government played a very nasty trick against homosexuality. They didn't legalize it and they didn't forbid it. So there's no protection under the Iraqi law, but again, Iraqi constitution is followed the Sharia law. Anything against the Sharia and the Islamic codes is prohibited. And of course, homosexuality falls within the Sharia as illegal.
And I understand also in 2005, the Shiite cleric, Grand Ayatollah Ali al-Sistani, issued a fatwa for Iraqi gays and lesbians to be killed in the worst, most severe way. What kind of things can that include?
The 2005 fatwa, which has been removed from Ayatollah Sistani, has never changed the fact that the effect of the fatwa is still on the ground. Another fatwa came out in 2007, stamped and signed by Ayatollah Sistani to target specifically homosexuality again. And it's directed on me as a person. I'm under fatwa, and nobody knows that how the effect of fatwa could have on people.
So even though the fatwa you say was removed, it was never retracted. So, but the killings continued.
Yes. Actually, it becomes more focused, more intense on homosexuality. It bring out the issue of homosexuality to the light, to the attention of so many groups that they started to target and attack. And specifically mention these on their religious activities.
And you know, there are so many different interpretations of Sharia. It depends on, you know, who's interpreting and for what purposes. This is a problem that also comes up with regards to women's rights and human rights. So whose interpretation counts here? I mean, is being gay against Sharia law, is it against Islam?
I don't believe it's against Islam, because I have confined with lots of religious high figures in Iraq when I was lived in Iraq, and they specifically said to us that it's not against the religion itself, but some other religious figures which we started to see, they started to have their own personal agenda and speak on the name of religion and start to preach for in front of crowds of believers who most of them uneducated and take religion blindly and started to target a group of individuals and groups or individuals who has no crime.
Well,
they were born this way. They haven't done anything. They're a minority, yes, but that's not how it should be in Iraq.
We're also joined by openly gay Democratic Congressman Gerard Polis of Colorado, who recently returned from Iraq. And you were on a fact-finding mission, I believe. There. Can you describe for us, Congressman, what is the situation like for gays and lesbians?
Well, one of the things that we wanted to do is make sure that our State Department and our own diplomats are aware of the situation. They had been really in denial. We've been working to bring these acts to their attention. We've been helped by Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch in documenting the persecution of gays, lesbians, and transgendered people within Iraq.
So are you saying that the lack of U.S. leadership on this issue is partially to blame for the lack of protections as far as gays and lesbians go in Iraq?
I think the United States, as well as the international community, needs to make it clear that human rights and respecting human rights means protecting all human life, even those of a minority that is frequently not the most popular in the culture of Iraq.
Well, what measures can the United States take, though, to protect gays and lesbians? I mean, just given the level of insecurity and level of general violence that there is in Iraq.
Well, again, there's a difference between general violence, which certainly occurs in Iraq, and specifically targeting of the gay community. And there was a cafe frequented by the gay community and six gay people who were killed, and they continue to be persecuted. There's evidence that this goes beyond a failure to protect from Iraqi security forces, but in fact that some agents of the Ministry of the Interior might have even been involved with arresting and incarcerating gay people in Baghdad.
And what can the United States do about that? I mean, if it were to, if, say, for instance, the Iraqi government were to come out and issue a statement saying that these killings were unacceptable, would they stop? Would they decrease? What would happen?
Yeah, the Maliki government, one of the major challenges they face is exerting their chain of command over a disparate security apparatus that has its own rogue elements within it. So it's not peculiar to only protecting gay and lesbians. There's many other areas, but clearly the civilian government needs to extend its authority over all armed forces and police security forces, and in particular emphasize human rights and protecting all Iraqi citizens.
Do we know how most of these attacks have taken place? Is there an MO as such?
Well, again, I think that there's a wide variety of both formal and informal attacks on gays and lesbians. As far as I know, nobody has been charged with blowing up the cafe. We, again, have reason to believe that there were people who actually work for the Ministry of the Interior involved with other incidences. At the very least, those people should lose their jobs. And there should be some criminal prosecutions to show that the value of the life of a gay Iraqi is the same as the value of the life of a straight Iraqi.
Mm. Mr. Hilly, what is gay life like in Iraq? Compared to the West?
Oh.
In terms of gay identity?
See, we have a different understanding for homosexuality. It's not the same Western prospect of homosexuality that we have. Male to male and female to female sexual practice or sexual attraction is completely different because our culture understands it differently. As long as you practice your own matters in private and never offend people in public, doesn't put things on their face, it's quite acceptable. Because we've seen a decade in the 60s, 70s, as we read and heard from old generation, came to us and they told us how it feels like to be gay in the 60s and the 70s, and I lived my teenagers in the 80s, and I've seen the Iraqi society tolerate and accept anything.
And this was the situation under Saddam, that the gays and lesbians were tolerated so long as it was something that was kept private?
No. Under Saddam, sexual freedom has been celebrated and flourished. And I'll tell you from personal experience, I was a DJ of the biggest nightclub, gay nightclub in Baghdad. We were used to inform the intelligence, the security about our activities, and they said to us clearly, you're fine, just don't mess with politics. You do whatever you want, we will protect you even from attacks. There were police outside the clubs. There were police standing out, guarding people when they go out. They patrolling the areas, the cruising area in downtown Baghdad. So that was just late 80s and early 90s.
You know, for a lot of people who've traveled in the Middle East and also in parts of Asia where I have, it's perfectly acceptable to show affection in public, you know, between men, kissing on the cheeks, holding of hands in public. Mm. Yet, why are those public displays of affection acceptable and being gay is not?
Things has really changed dramatically since 1991, after the first Gulf War. The wave of homophobia and Islamic movement in the Middle East, it is actually a great reaction to the first Gulf War in Iraq, that turns waking up a wave of phobia and homophobia in specific in the Middle East, and people started to link homosexuality.
Do you think that's also related to the comments that were made by Mahmoud Ahmadinejad of Iran, when he said that there are no gays in Iran?
Yeah, I think he meant it in a different way. I'm not sure if he in the beginning he was trying to say, I believe that he was trying to say that we don't have a homosexual the way that the Western people understand.
But did that sort of, in terms of sort of the way that it was sort of viewed across the region, I mean, can you give us whether that, the kind of the things that you're having to deal with in Iraq, this is a problem across the region, across the Middle East as a whole?
The rest of the region is quite more relaxed. We've never seen that level of attacks on homosexuality and on gay, trans or lesbians on that high scale of level, and systematic targeting attacks, raids, and on any of the neighboring countries. There's a certain amount of conservatism regarding practice your own matter in private, you'll be off the hook. You'll be fine, you'll be safe. I've seen that recently in Syria when I visited last May. Syria, I've seen how things practice, and it brings me back to the days when I used to live in Iraq. I've been accepted. People know about my sexuality, but we don't talk about it. We don't discuss it in public, but everybody knows about it. But it's my own personal matter.
Congressman Polis, you've taken an interest in the plight of Iraqi gays and lesbians. Why do you think that it's important to do this? And I know that you were also in Iraq in 2007. And in what ways has there been a change in the way that Iraqi gays and lesbians have been treated since then?
Well, and Ali's perfectly correct. We are not trying to change the cultural status of homosexuality in the Arab world. It's simply Iraq has a tradition of, just like many of the other moderate Arab countries, Jordan, Syria among them, where, gay people certainly face, sometimes discrimination in their families, and there's not the ability to be out in the same sense that we mean it in the West. But they don't fear for life and limb walking around. They're not murdered without prosecution. They're not specifically targeted. In Baghdad, the names of some gay Iraqis was tacked up all over Sadr City, and people were just told to kill them. So, I mean, this is not, this breaks from the long tradition of quiet acceptance. I met with the first trip I was there a year and a half ago, I met with some gay refugees that had fled Iraq for Jordan. I think that many gay people in Iraq who had the ability have fled. There's no doubt about that. The ones who are still there today, and of course the next generation, are now working to improve their security in Baghdad.
And several of the men have been found with words like pervert or puppies written on placards which have been placed around their necks. What do you think, is this some sort of message that they're trying to send to Iraq's gay community?
Well, I think they're trying to terrify them. That's exactly what they're doing, and they are terrifying them. The Maliki government and the civilian government of Iraq needs to stand up and say, we protect all Iraqi citizens, even if we don't personally approve of the lifestyle, we personally don't approve of this or that. Whether they're a Christian minority, an atheist minority, a gay minority, all Iraqis need to be protected under the law.
I've been speaking with Ali Hilli, the founder of Iraq LGBT, and Congressman Jarrad Polis about the violence and persecution facing gay Iraqis on today's first underreported segment. Thank you to both of you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.